put a little together, another little booklet, which is I'm pretty crazy about doing all the time. Is this a little loud? I think so. It could be turned down just a tad. The reason I do that is because I feel like there's sometimes I write things down that I don't say in the sermon, and there's things I say in the sermon that I don't write down. And so it's a way for me to review, and I think you need to review. How many of you have ever done anything that you just need to hear it once? And that was it. It was all done. I wonder how many times that's actually happened in your life. Maybe you need to hear it again and again and again. In fact, the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard. And so I put together a little booklet. It's called Receiving Isn't a Mystery, although for many of us it can be. Receiving. Overcoming the hindrances to receiving from God just makes a lot of sense. And the scriptures speak to them a lot. Mark 10:15 says, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So to enter the kingdom of God, you have to receive it. And it says, as a little child. Now, there's no little child here. But if I was to set a little child in front of us, I think you could look at that and say, as a little child, what does that mean? Well, a little child is innocent. A little child is like a sponge. A little child trusts what you're saying, believes it, and responds to it. There's no guile. There's no sense of distrust there from parent to child, unless the parents have really just done wrong. And God is saying to us, we as adults, we as any age group, the only way we're going to enter into the kingdom, and that doesn't just mean walking through the door and now that you're in, everything's good. It means entering into the kingdom, how the kingdom works, how things are done. It says you have to have a faith that's like a child. I'm not saying you have to have a childish faith, which unfortunately I think most of the body of Christ, my opinion and probably the opinion of others, is pretty childish. It's pretty weak. It's saying childlike in the sense it's trusting and obedient, that believes and embraces the Word of God and walks in it, not deceived, not filled with guile. But a childish faith is something that's not growing and maturing. That's not what that means. It's saying receiving like a child. The scripture says the kingdom of God is within you, and entering it means receiving the things of grace through faith in what He's done. I was thinking about this recently. You know, it's really all about a receiving thing. You don't earn it. Receiving is how faith comes. Receiving is how the power and authority comes. Receiving is how salvation comes. Receiving is how everything in the kingdom comes. But as I thought about receiving, you know, sometimes people are not in a position to receive. Have you ever run into somebody that you thought when you were talking to them, it was like a brick wall? I've never been accused of that too much. Stop laughing, wife. But you know, if you think about it, there are times when in your marital relationship, you're not able to communicate with each other because neither one of you is receiving. And we'll turn to the other one saying, you're being pig-headed. You're being stubborn and dogmatic. You're a brick wall. And of course, the one that's saying all of that is just so receptive. You know, just sweet and kind and just humble like a child, right? Isn't it the teapot calling the kettle black, you know? So it goes both ways. But there is an issue. We have to be in a position to receive. We have to be in a position so that we are ready But in relationships, sometimes that's not true, is it? And we aren't supposed to be in a relationship with God, but in our marriage relationships, that can be true. We're not receiving. And one of the reasons that we're not receiving sometimes is because we're all bottled up. We're all hurting inside. I think of a soda bottle that you shake up, right? And then you give to your buddy, and then when they open it up, it goes spewing all over them, right? Well, we can be like that with events in our life and issues and fears and struggles. We're all bottled up. We're not in a position to receive, are we? We're so filled with whatever it is that's frustrating us, whatever it's bothering us, our fears and so forth. We're so bottled up, we're not able to receive. And in fact, until we release that pressure, we have no room. You got to think about this. If there's no room, you're not in a position to enter into the kingdom, are you? One of the things that love can do, and especially in relationship, is to stop pushing and stop pressuring the other person and start pulling out and listening and listening. Because if you're both on one end, if you're both throwing stones and accusations and you're angry at each other and you're all bottled up at each other and it's just heated and angry and frustrated, one of you has got to stop the pattern and realize, I see what's going on here. Neither one of us is receiving. One of us has got to start listening. One of us has got to change the dynamic and open up and let the other one vent. Because once they get it out, they're in a position to receive. And maybe they'll return the favor and let you get it out so you can receive. The truth of the matter is, many of us, until we are heard, cannot receive. And as a Christian, I want you to think about that in your workplace. I want you to think about it in your home, when you're visiting family. It's not so much you need to share with them the four spiritual laws, but you need to find out what's going on in their life. You need to find out where they're at and what's bothering them and what's the big thing for them. And you just do that by asking questions. What's going on in your life? And you listen because you really want to. And you pray about it. And you say, Lord, help me to help them. Get it out what it is that's blocking them from receiving. And all you have to do is start asking questions. What is it? What's going on? What angers you? What's frustrating you? What is it that you believe about God? What is it that you don't believe? And you don't have to defend nothing. You just need to let them say whatever it is. This is one of the greatest tools of evangelism, friendship evangelism you and I can have, is to ask questions. And don't be afraid of any of the answers. Your silence doesn't mean that you agree. Your silence doesn't mean that you're on board with what they're saying. You're just letting that person be a person. And you are loving them by laying down your agenda so that you can help them get in touch with whatever it is that's bothering them. You know, they're going to be stuck in that place until someone does that for them. How many of you have ever been stuck until someone listened to you? Yeah, it's a big deal. And it's a gift that we give. And Jesus said, there's no greater love for anyone than to lay down their life for their friend. If you're in a marriage relationship, you owe it to your mate to set your agenda aside and listen. I've got a booklet out there. It's called Listening, A Parent's Responsibility. If you don't listen to your children, guess where they're going to go? They're going to go to someone else. And maybe you don't like who they're going to. Maybe it's their friends, or maybe it's their friend's family, and maybe their values are totally different than yours. This is all about receiving. But to receive, you've got to have been heard. And we can provide that for others. We can be there for them. We can lay down our agenda and listen to them and let them get it out. And I'm telling you, you, as a husband or wife, it is your responsibility to listen to your mate. If there's anyone in the world that should be listening, it should be your mate listening to you. Receiving isn't a mystery. Sometimes we're just in a bad place. Sometimes it's just that we're all bottled up. And sometimes, until we are heard, we can't receive. I want to give you some other examples of how it is that receiving is not a mystery. Sometimes you can't receive because you're all full. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but it's happened to me from time to time. I didn't know when we were going over to someone's house that they were fixing dinner. And so before we went over, I ate. Anybody ever done that? Let me see some hands. Okay, I'm not the only one. So when you get over there, it's like, oh my, you're full. What are you going to do? You're going to eat again. Yeah. But obviously when you're hungry, you're in a position to receive, right? Well, let's eat. I'm ready. But if we're all full, we're not in a position to receive. When it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to a marriage, you can be all full too. Well, you know, I spent the day playing golf. I spent the day doing, you know, entertaining myself, watching movies. My wife comes home or something for visiting her mom at the nursing home. I'm talking about in times past, and she'll come in and, I don't have a need. I'm full. I'm fed. I'm satisfied. But she comes in with a need. If I'm full, what can I do for her? Do you understand what this is talking about? You prepare to be ready for your mate. You prepare. You don't fill up your day and fill up your tank and have nothing left over. I've said in times past that when you come to church, many of you have spent, not you, but just people, have spent their Saturdays just busy, 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 and just go into the late hours of the night watching movies and entertaining themselves. And when they come here, church is so boring. And they're tired. It's like, how long is he going to talk? You're not hungry. You're not hungry. Because you're fed on something else. This is true. When it comes to receiving in faith, if we're filled up with other things, we're not ready to receive. How is someone full? Well, let me give you some ideas. Someone can be full in their heart because they're busy with their career, they're busy with their entertainment, their sports, what they like to do in life. They're involved. They're overcommitted. I remember preaching a sermon back in my earlier days when someone was complaining about, oh, the church people, they're just not committed to the things of God. And they're implying that they're just lazy. And I said, that's not the problem. I don't think it's the problem. It's not that they can't commit. It's that they're already committed to other things. None of you have had that problem, but I'm talking about others, right? It's those heathen, those carnal Christians, right? If you are committed to other things, you don't have time to serve God. And guess what the enemy wants you to do? Go ahead. You deserve it. Go ahead. Make that commitment. Go ahead. You know, it's about time that you lived more for yourself. Oh, I guess that's just not a popular thing to be talking about. Another way in which we become full of ourselves, full of trusting in ourselves. How many of you have ever presented an argument with your mate or with someone else, and you knew you were wrong, and you were standing on it? Right? How many of you argue from the position, I know I'm wrong, but that's the way it is? Or is it that what you're arguing is because you're convinced that you're right? And then you turn around and say, oh, you always have to be right. Hello? Hello? How many of you really argue from the position that you're right? Go ahead. Show me some hands. All right, some of you are good. That's good. You don't argue from that position.
Liar.
We trust in ourselves, and the scripture says it's a deception that we think that our opinion and our view is the truth. And it's a deception that we can trust our own hearts to make the right decisions. Oh, I know what to do. I know what's best. And the scripture speaks to that. It says you're full of yourself. You're full of yourself. You're trusting in your own heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's what Jeremiah said. It's a deception to not put your trust in God and to put yourself or trust in yourself. In that position, you're full of yourself. You're full of your own opinion, and you're not in a position to receive. We could call it pride. We could call it arrogance. But none of us are prideful, and none of us are arrogant. I'm just talking about the fact that we do trust ourselves. Right? So if we're full of food, full of foolishness, full of ourself, we're not in a position to receive, are we? We've already eaten. That's a decision we have to make. Sometimes a person is not in a position to receive because their heart is hardened. It's similar to being full, but it has to do with the heart's affections, where you put your values at. The rich young ruler in Scripture is a classic case of this. He came up to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, have you obeyed all the commandments? And basically said, yeah, I've been doing that. And he says, you lack one thing. In other words, your heart affection is on something else than God. God's not first. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the man went away full of sorrow. Because his heart had a different affection. You know, our heart was made to have affections. It was made to have desires and to hold on to something, absolutely. But if it's not God, then it's something else, isn't it? When you go to the parable of the sower and the seed, it's really a parable about conditions of the heart that make you unreceptive. And in the case of the rich young ruler, he had a huge stone in his heart, and he would not get rid of it. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know what the scripture says, we sung the song, it says, seek first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ask, and it shall be given. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. And if that's not what's happening, it's not God's fault. If that's not what's happening, it's not God's fault. We're not in a position to receive. I know you've been like me, and you read those verses, you say, well, that's wonderful. That's cool, I guess. That's what God intends, but it's not happening in my life. Well, maybe there's a reason. And there is. I'm full of myself. I have a hardened heart with affections toward other things that are more important to me. I'm bottled up with fear and anxiety, and I'm unable to receive because I've got too much going on inside. I hope you're hearing me. This whole idea of not being in a position to receive is huge. It's huge. I want to make a clarification here. If you are in your marriage and you're hardened toward your mate, there's a reason. Some listening hasn't been going on. Some love hasn't been shared. Some hardened hearts has happened. Some offenses have taken place. Some anger and bitterness exist, and they're filling your heart. You can change it, but you're going to have to make some decisions. If you go back to the parable of the sower and the seed, there's that good ground, remember? There's the hard ground, there's the stony ground, there's the shallow ground with thorns and thistles, and there's the good ground. And I'm cutting to the chase here. Do you know that the good ground doesn't just happen? Wow, woke up one day and you had good ground. Doesn't just happen. You know what you had to do? You had to break it up. You had to be breaking up the heart. You had to dig the ground and soften it up. And then you had to get rid of some of the stones. You had to make some priorities and make the Word of God number one in your life. You had to focus on the Word of God. But when you have hardened ground, you can't do that. The good ground doesn't just happen. The good ground happened because somebody decided to break up the fallow ground, the hard ground. And then someone decided that the things that their heart was attached to wasn't the things that were pleasing God. And so they made decisions to walk away from that. Do you understand? And then the thorny grounds with the weeds that are growing. And we've talked about addressing our weeds, but if you don't address your weeds, they're still going to be there. But if you address your weeds, you can diminish that. And so now your ground isn't hard anymore, there aren't the stones there anymore, and the weeds have been diminished, and what do you have left? Good ground. That's a place of receptivity. That's a place where the power of God can be released in your life. There are also stages in our life that can prevent us from receiving. When I was a young man and I wanted to talk about retirement, when I had my first job, I'm like, retirement? I'm a young man. I don't need to worry about that. Now that I'm 53, I'm thinking about it. I wish I had thought about it. Isn't that how it works? When you're a young man, all your opportunities are in front of you and you're ready to hear everything. Now that I'm an older man, all of my opportunities have vanished. Stages of life affect that too, you see. Where are you in your life? I'm just sharing these things and throwing them out for you. There's something else I want to throw to you. I'm trying to wrap this up. When you became born again, you received everything you need. You don't need to ask God for more. It's in your spirit, man. What we do is we need to get it into our heart, where we can receive in our heart. You understand? And these things that I'm talking to you about, and there's more, the scripture talks about unforgiveness. It talks about bitterness. It talks about being distracted. It talks about fears and anxiety. It talks about your attention being worldly. Asking amiss, pride, these things, they all hinder. The best thing we can do in our marriage, in our faith, in our relationship with God, is to start addressing those things that are hindering us from receiving, manifesting the glory of God in our life. The good ground doesn't just happen. We have to be about it. Listen to James 1:21, and I'll conclude. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Now, many of us are good people, and we're not thinking that what we're doing is filthy or wicked. But when it comes to what God sees, our pride, our trusting of ourselves, our fears, our anxieties, our self-centeredness is filthiness to Him. Lay it aside. And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receiving isn't a mystery. I'm just going to read this for you. God hasn't decided to give His grace more to one over another. He has poured out His Spirit on all flesh, given His grace to whosoever will, and empowered His sons and daughters according to the focus and attention and willingness to make God's Word Lord in their lives. God's Word will promote us indiscriminately according to the power that works in us. God doesn't look at you and say, you're a favorite, and look at you and say, too bad. It's the same. It's what we do with it. But our receptivity determines it all. And I'm just trying to give you some stuff to think about. We decide how much, and that is determined by our own heart's receptivity. We don't make faith, listen to this, we don't make faith, it's received. We don't increase in power, it's received. What we do is provide for our own receptivity to God's Word and Spirit. There are things that hinder us from receiving, and I've mentioned and addressed many of them. Our job then is to be receivers, and figuring out how to become better at receiving makes a lot of sense. Sometimes we need to spend a little time in prayer so that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us those things that we are doing that stop us from receiving or accepting what God has already done in Christ Jesus. This receiving thing, it's huge. But you've got to be receptive. The problem is, we've been receptive just to other things. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into these things and look at the Scripture, you command that we would be like a child, that our focus would be on you, that our spirit would be on you, and that we would grow faith, that we would grow in our understanding. And none of this will happen if we don't grow in receptivity. Forgive us for allowing our heart to be cluttered by the enemy, the world, our own desires. May we be about changing the direction of that ship in relationship to you, in relationship to others, in relationship to our own marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.